I say, you, that gentleman over there, come here, come here. Now, do you mind if I kiss you?
No, stop messing about.
No, I mean it. Mm. I find you madly fascinating. Mm. Oh, come on. Put your arms around me.
Oh, yeah, this is all wrong. I don't know you at all. Mm. I've never seen you before.
Oh, that makes it all the more exciting. Mm.
That was an excerpt from Love from a Stranger. Another in our series is a play to remember, which may also help you to forget the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those with a strong disposition, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Lieutenant Commander Haldicott Mackridge Stendispas, Turkish bath attendant. Worried Blue Eyes of South Clapham. The Bournemouth Ladies' Guild Black and White Minstrels. Widgley Farson. Miss Gertrude Gardner, the famous left-handed piano player.
Oh, I know her. She's a bit of a vamp.
To continue, Russ Atwell, Frank Edgware and Dennis Morden. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horn, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horn.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. Let me tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I popped into my favorite exotic coffee bar in Kensington, a place called the Co Cup of Cocoa. Which I always find fascinating. I can spend hours in there just sitting and watching the brown sugar sink slowly through the froth. However, on Wednesday, I was in town when I ran into a chap I know who's got a rather unusual job. He tests mattresses. It's quite a skilled job, and actually there's a special name for blokes who test mattresses. Oh, what is it now? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, yes, I know. A mattress tester. That's right, yes. Anyway, he was looking pretty miserable because apparently he'd just been given the sack. And when I asked him why, he said,
well, they caught me standing up on the job.
Well, on Thursday, I wanted to meet the supervisor of program planning for the BBC, Mr. Spencer Lotterby. So I went along to Broadcasting House. Dear, how much longer do I have to wait? Oh, Commissioner, look, I've read the Radio Times and the Listener twice already.
Well, we've got a book here you might like to read.
Oh, yes.
There's one or two bits. Well, you know, I've marked the pages. Keep it to yourself, but here you are.
Oh, thank you. Now, what's it called? Oh, the Listen with Mother Annual. Well, I suppose
Good grace, you're still waiting, Mr. Horn? Haven't they sent you up yet?
No.
Well, you should have done. After all, you've sent us up enough times, haven't you? Oh, perhaps you care to accompany me. I'm the press officer. Mr. Lotterby's on the 8th floor, though I ought to warn you, he's a very difficult man to get into. Right, up we go.
Oh, jolly, that was quick.
Yes, that's one of our best sound effects.
Look, that office there, Edwin Braden, it says. He's our musical arranger. I must hop in.
No. He mustn't be disturbed. He's hard at work. Listen.
Look, I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
No, Mr. Horn. He prefers to be on his own most of the time, you know. In fact, we call him the Lone Ranger. Shall we pass on?
Yes, as quickly as possible after that one.
Ah, here we are, Mr. Lotterby's office.
Ah, good morning. I'm Spencer Lotterby.
This is Mr. Kenneth Horn, sir.
Kenneth Horn? It's funny, we've got a Kenneth Horn on our files. There's a show called Beyond Our Ken. Actually, according to the statistics, nobody listens to him. But there's another fellow in the show everyone's mad about. His name is Kenneth Williams. Yes, I wouldn't miss him myself. Versatile, handsome, mellifluous.
Yes, now, isn't Betty Marsden in that show, too?
Oh, yes, she's always overacting, you know.
Excuse me, sir. What about Hugh Paddock?
Yes, what about you?
Yes, that's good. Mr. Lotterby, this listener research business is very interesting, and I'd like to know how you get your information.
So would I. No, actually, we have a team of experts going round asking people what they like.
And what do they like?
Well, most of the men seem to go for cricket commentaries.
And what do the women go for?
Kenneth Williams. Very versatile, handsome, mellifluous.
Yes. By the way, what does mellifluous mean?
I've no idea. We can soon find out. Get me information. We got one of the best information departments. They know everything.
Oh, yes.
Hello? Oh, Spencer Lotterby here. I want to know the meaning of mellifluous. Mellifluous. M for mellifluous. E for mellifluous. Oh, M for mother. E for Edward. L for leguminous. Leguminous. L for latitude. Latitude. Oh, never mind.
Well, I'm sorry I asked. Tell me, Mr. Lotterby, how does one learn the job of listener research?
Well, you start with the keyholes and work your way up. We've got lots of other interesting statistics, you know. You'd be amazed at the number of people who listen to the news in Norwegian.
Really? Where do they all come from?
Norway. But if you want some really interesting statistics, come into this room here. Here. How about those? 34, 26... 36.
Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster.
And the Variety Orchestra are all here studying the statistics.
Well, I don't know. They even whistle off key. All right. Sing, Pat. Jarl in Ice Pan.
By the way, Mr. Lotterby, it's time for the critics.
Oh, yes, the critics. Now, what's that program all about? I've never heard it.
Neither have I. That's why I'm going to listen. I'll switch on my set.
Last place at Newbury. First, Rose of Summer, 20 to 1. Second, Helping, 100 to 7. Third, Saddle of Lamb, joint favorite. That is the end of the racing results. Now, here is an announcement. In the play at 8:30 this evening, The Sport of My Mad Mother, the part of the Lotus Eater will be played by Peggy Mount and not Sir Donald Wolfe. As shown in the Radio Times, which incidentally is on sale now, price fourpence. And now we present the critics. The chairman today is Kenneth Hall.
Ordinary thing. I must listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the critics.
Good afternoon. Our art critic today is Eustace Peabody, so we'll start with films. The film we've seen this week is Hiroshima Mon Tweety Pie. Now then, Elizabeth Cragepot Hobartson.
Yes, well, as a matter of fact, I went to see this film with our book critic, Neville Hodge, and I must admit I was held from beginning to end. He's a bit of a devil, is old Neville.
You liked it then?
Oh, I enjoyed it tremendously, yes.
Neville Hodge?
Oh, yes, rather.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, what does our theatre critic think of the film? T.B. Gorsley.
Quite honestly, I would like to be able to say that I didn't enjoy this film, but I'm afraid I did.
The whole thing had a tremendous depth, even though it was on a wide screen. And I felt that what came across particularly well was the fortiter in re, suaviter in modo.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I mean, one got the impression that at the very least it was, how shall I put it? Well, se non e vero e ben trovato.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Of course, I can understand that some of us might not like it as much as others, but then chacun a son goût, as I always say.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Elizabeth, do belt up. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, I don't. However, if I was asked to sum this film up in one word, I think I should say that the whole thing was
mellifluous?
Yes.
Thank you, yes, that's right. Well, now our radio critic, Marvin Spenlow.
Well, I don't intend to wallow in the asinine verbosity of Gosler. I shall be quite outspoken. I hated it.
Oh, no.
Yes, I hated this film.
Yes, but why?
Kenneth Williams wasn't in it.
Well, there we are. I myself couldn't get in to see it. There were enormous queues for the five bobs, and I certainly wasn't going to pay 7 and 6. However, in summing up the general opinion of the critics, I would say that we vote Hiroshima Mon Tweety Pie a miss.
Oh, turn it off. But that program left to go. You know, Mr. Orme, there's going to be some radical alteration in the BBC programs in the future.
Really? How do you mean?
For one thing, we are hoping to sell some of our radio shows to the American market. In fact, with that in view, we've already Americanized one of our most popular programs. Would you like to hear the recording?
Yes, I would indeed.
Right. Stand by.
This is the BBC Light Program. We present another gripping installment of... The Archers.
A tale of simple country folk.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the fat stock prices have been changed to mislead the income tax collector.
My name is Archer, Dan Archer. I'm a farmer. Wednesday, May 1st, me and my assistant were working in the fields on our usual beet, the sugar beet. We tied up all the loose ends and we were taking a shortcut across the field of corn when an emergency call came through. Hello, Archer. Yeah. Okay. We've got to get back right away. Something's cropped up.
Okay. Say, Dan, how come you get a telephone call in the middle of the cornfield?
Never heard of the corn exchange.
When we got back to the farmhouse, it was deserted. The reason was soon obvious. Wrong farmer.
We finally got the right one. I threw open the door. There was a woman standing by a table.
Well, hello there.
Uh-huh. Who are you?
My name is Archer, Doris Archer. I'm your wife.
Uh-huh. What's the trouble, ma'am?
It's our boy, Jack. He's missing.
We started the search immediately.
We looked in the barn. Nothing suspicious there.
I questioned the milkmaid.
She didn't know much.
She does now. The search continued. At last, we found a man who might help. He was out in the pasture taking stock of the stock. Hey, mister, can I have a word with you? Okay. Just stick to the facts. Who are you?
My name is Gabriel, Walter Gabriel. I'm a herdsman.
Okay, Mac, what do you herd?
Well, they go around the other way to the hunter roar of that dip.
Uh-huh. Well, that's out
there, the way right now, sorry.
You sure?
Yeah, right now, right up there in the water, right there anyway.
Thanks, mister, you've been a little help. Archer? Okay, we'll check on it. That was my dog. He thinks he's got a lead. Come on.
Okay. Say, Dan, how come you got a telephone call in the middle of a herd of cattle?
Never heard of the stock exchange.
We followed up the lead. It was right. We closed in on the hayloft. There in the corner, we found the answer to the Jack Archer case.
Jack Archer.
Immediately, we reported back to the farmhouse.
Well?
My name is Archer, Dan Archer. I'm a farmer.
I know that. Just give me the facts.
Oh, ma'am, we found him.
Is it bad?
Worse than that, our boy Jack has disgraced the family name.
Yeah, we found him in the hayloft, operating a secret radio.
Oh, no! Jack Archer, a traitor! I'm
afraid so, ma'am.
But why?
He was listening to Mrs. Dale's diary.
Well, you may be interested to know that Jack Archer was found guilty and received the maximum sentence. 52 weeks in the Huggins. However, some more interesting facts I learned from the BBC were all about FHF, which I always thought meant fairly high frequency, but turned out to be the Fraser Hayes Four. And so to the Kenneth Horn documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on Russia. Is their political outlook in doubt?
Or can we take it as read?
First of all, let's talk to an authority, Mr. Stanley Birkinshaw. Now, sir. I understand you just returned from a lecture tour in Russia.
That is so, comrade, yes. My subject was the British way of life.
Did you travel far?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. It was an extensive tour, right across the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. I visited such places as Minsk, Omsk, Vladivostok, Murmansk, the Caucasus, Sebastopol, across the Russian steppes, and finishing up in Moscow.
Yes. Were your lectures well attended?
Oh, yes, indeed. Wherever I spoke, there was an overflow.
And here's a very, very attractive Russian lady. Now, madam, I must say, I find you extremely beautiful, and I would
no.
like...
No. Oh.
I thought that was a word you've never used. However, I understand your fiancé is closely connected with various international organizations.
That is true, yes. He is very, very keen on, well, you know.
Yes, I think I know, yes.
In fact, that is where we first met.
Oh, you were both delegates at UNO.
Yes, we used to work out together.
And now we're privileged to meet a remarkable old character who has actually lived and worked in Siberia. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you. Yes, I'm very proud.
Thank you, sir.
Honored.
Thank you. Now,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
Now, sir.
Yes.
You've actually been to the Urals.
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid I had to, sir. You see, I was working out there in the salt mines something like 35 years.
How long?
35 years. Yes, quite an old salt.
Yes, very funny, sir. Hey, tell us something I've always wanted to know. What do they do with all that salt?
They wrap it up in little blue bags for them potato crisps.
Russia, a vast and industrious country, and in many fields, great advances are being made.
I said no.
Oh, she's back, is she? However, I was thinking particularly of those pioneers of progress, the Russian scientists.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Comrade Twelve. I
what a lovely blue tie.
Yes, it's rather dolly, isn't it? It's my conservative club tie. What about this gorgeous Cossack hat I'm wearing?
Oh, yes, what, sir?
Keep my head warm, sir.
Oh, you are a rag.
Rodder, would you care for samovar tea?
No, you've never samovar.
I don't think that's funny.
Oh, get with it, comrade. Honestly, you're a bit of a red square.
Come on, I think it's time we got on with our latest project.
Well, let's hope this rocket works, or we'll be falling.
All right. Stand by, comrade.
Ready to launch rocket?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There, there.
You fool!
You sent it along the ground instead of up.
It's not my fault. You knocked the milk bottle over.
Really, to understand the Russian way of life, one has to talk to the ordinary people, learn their social and sporting interests. With this in mind, we sent Cecil Snape to Moscow.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking to you now from a famous Soviet working man's club. All sorts of indoor games are being played. There are, in fact, one or two other Englishmen here. It's quite easy to spot them. They haven't got snow on their boots. However, standing by me now is a Russian gentleman by the name of Ivan. As a matter of fact, listeners, when he told me he was Ivan, I said, yes, you look pretty terrible. Little joke which, unfortunately, he did not share. So, he has invited me to join him in a game called Russian Roulette. I've never played this before, but we have a revolver with 6 chambers. We place just 1 bullet in it, spin it round, and then pass the gun back and forth, firing it at our own heads. Sounds fun. Well, I have won the toss, so Ivan starts off.
Come on, Jenny, to hold it together. Now you, Snape.
Thank you. Now you, Ivan.
Oh. Now you, Snape.
This is where it starts to get exciting. Now you, Ivan.
The last shot is yours, Snape.
Oh. Well. Here goes.
Oh, my book! My book!
And this is Cecil, not such a fool, Snape, returning you to the studio.
Finally, we turn to those legendary Russian figures, the anarchists. Is it true that they were always plotting for the downfall of government officials? Let's eavesdrop on 2 such anarchists in a dark alleyway just outside Moscow.
Pretty city.
Yes, Ambrose.
You didn't forget to bring the bomb with you, did you?
No, darling, I've got it here.
Well, get ready to throw it when I give you the word. We'll teach that Petrovich fellow a thing or two, are you?
Ambrose, do you really think our little plan will work?
Of course it will, you silly old faggot. I've been watching Petrovich's movements very closely. He passes through this alleyway every night, sharp at 9 o'clock.
Ambrose, look at the time.
Oh, good heavens, it's 9:20.
Yes. He's very late tonight.
Oh, dear.
What is it?
I do hope nothing's happened to him.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be physical training. Does it get your back up? Also, in next week's program, we shall be reading extracts from the autobiography of a department store detective entitled The Confessions of a Counter-Spy. And there'll be a preview of the new film starring Bridget Bardot and called The Gladys Morgan Story. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. If a chemist bought some streptotraps,
Would it be to catch some streptomycin? Good night. You might have been listening to What I've Just Missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Pat Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jakes Brown.
That was the last in the present series, The Best of the Best.